book of Exodus, and I usually try to stay in the New Testament. I just go into the Old Testament when I'm trying to find reference back with some things, and I said, you know what, there's a story in here, and it's with Moses, and he's leading the Israelites out of Egypt. He's going to be used, and I want to go through five chapters, and I'm basically just going to go through the story, and then I'm gonna show you some things in there that can be applied to us. And so I'm going to be in Exodus 1, and we're going to just kind of run through it. And instead of reading it, I'll tell it to you. And in chapter 1, it says, "Now that these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt, every man and his household with Joseph." Okay, so Joseph is going to come into, they're in Egypt, and it's the 12 tribes, okay? And they're coming in, and the Bible says that Joseph and all his people had died, and there was a new king in Egypt. And the new king saw that the Jews, they multiplied and they waxed exceedingly mighty, for there was only 70 souls that were from the loins of Jacob. And the Bible says that this king, he said, let me deal with these people wisely. Let's see. And he was the king of Egypt, and he said, you know what? They're starting to grow in numbers. They're starting to multiply. He says, so what can we do? Because they're getting so great in numbers, if someone ever come in war against us, they can go with them and come against us and overtake us. And so the king is trying to figure out, you know, what can we do? And it says that the more he afflicted the people, the more they multiplied, the more they grew. And so he made their lives bitter in bondage. He was making them build things in the city with mortar and with brick, and they were still growing more and more. And so he thought, and he went to the Hebrew, the Bible says it was the Hebrew midwives, he went to two of them, and Sapphira and Paula. I'm not too good with names, but he went to them and he told them, look, every woman that is born, when you have them on the stool and you're going to deliver these children, look and see. And if it's a male or boy, he says, you're to kill them. And if it's a girl we're going to leave them. But this is how we're going to control the growth, because they're growing so much and they're starting to get big. So this is how we're going to deal with it. And the Hebrew midwives, they didn't want to do this, because they said, you know, they felt bad, because it was, you know, because they said, this is not right in God's eye. We're not to do this. You know, these, and Pharaoh found out, and he said, why didn't you do this? Why, you know, and he said, well, these women are not like the Egyptian women. They're strong, and so he says, God deal, and it says that, therefore, God deal with the well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And Pharaoh charged his people, saying, every son that is born, they shall cast into the river. So Pharaoh said, you know what, well, then fine, we're going to get, so now he charged everybody, and he said, everyone that has a son, he says, you're going to cast them into the river. And that's how he thought he could mitigate the growth and control the growth of the Israelites, of the Hebrews. And it says that there was there went a man of the house of Levite. That was, I guess, one of the tribes of Levite, and took a wife and a daughter of the Levites. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. Okay, she was hiding him. And then when he started to get older and she couldn't hide him no more, the Bible says that she built a little ark of like bushels and slime, and she built it, and she took him and put him by the river. And whenever she left him, there was Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter was there. She was going to the river, and she had her maids with her. And they saw the ark, and Pharaoh's daughter told one of the maids, hey, go and why don't you go over there and go see what that is? And the Bible says that they brought her to Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter saw that it was a young boy, and she liked this boy, and she told the maid, go and find one of the Hebrew midwives to care for the child. So the maid went and found the mother of the child. And this mother was cared for the child until he got older. The Bible says till he was of age. And the mother delivered her back to Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's mother called him Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Well, that's how he got his name, Moses. Okay? And the Bible says he grew up, and then one day he went out and he saw the Egyptians. They were dealing, you know, with Hebrews. And the Bible says that he looked back and forth, and he saw some old buddy, and he slew that man. He killed him and he buried him in the sand. And he fled, okay? And he came back the next day, and the Hebrew said, where's that man that you were with? And he tells him, you know what? What made you king over us or a ruler over us? And he thought that they were going to tell, and he fled. He left. He left, and he took off. And when Pharaoh heard this, the Bible says that Pharaoh sought to kill him. And he went into a city or town or whatever. It was Midian. And as he's traveling there, he gets there, right? And he comes to a watering place, a well, right? And there's seven daughters that are there. And they're getting water, and the Bible says that some shepherds come and they run her off, and he comes and he helps the women and he helps water the flock. And the daughters go back. They go back to their father, and he says, well, why did you get here so early? And they said, well, there was a man that helped us. And the Bible says that he was a priest of Midian. He was a priest of Midian. And Moses was content. And so the father said, go and get him that he may come eat bread with us. Okay, so he comes and he eats bread with them. And the Bible says that Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. So he ends up staying there. And the man gives one of his daughters to Moses. And they have a son. Moses had a son. And I was told the kids, man, I didn't know that Moses had a wife or a son. I said, yeah, the Bible says right here. And they named him, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Gershom. For he had been a stranger in the land. So he has a son, and now his father-in-law is the priest of Midian, and he's tending to the flock of the father-in-law. And they're in the desert they go beside a mountain, the Bible says. It says, and God heard the groanings and the prayers of the Hebrews that were in bondage. And Moses and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. And now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. The Bible says he was a priest of him. And then the Bible says that an angel of the Lord appeared unto him. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a burning bush. And so he's there, and an angel of the Lord comes. It appears to him in a burning bush. And it says, in the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the burning bush with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And he turned aside to see, and the Lord called his name and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put thy shoes off, for the place that you're on is holy ground. But can you imagine that Moses, he don't know God. He was a Hebrew child, but he was raised as an Egyptian. And he's going on a mountain, and an angel of the Lord appears to him. Okay. And God tells him, he says, moreover, I said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face and looked and was afraid to look upon him. And the Lord said, you know what? I've surely seen the affliction of my people. And the Lord told him that, you know, I'm gonna deliver my people out of the hands of the Egyptians. And the Bible, it says that he's going to take them to a place where it floweth with milk and honey. And he's going to deliver them from the Canaanites, from the Hittites, from the Amorites, from the Perizzites, from the Hivites, and from the Jebusites. And he's going to use Moses. And there's two things that God tells Moses, and Moses says, who am I? Who am I that I can go? You know, and there's these things I saw there, and I said, you know what? That there's a lot of things that will relate to us in this story. He says, who am I? And there's God's gonna equip them with four things in this story. Four things. He goes, the Lord's talking to him, and he says, I want to deliver my children out of Egypt. And he says, you're going to help me. And Moses says, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? God says, certainly I'm going to be with you. And you know what? That wasn't enough for him. He didn't believe. He says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto you that they have sent thee. And when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. That's there in Midian, so that's in the mountain of Midian. So Moses goes, he goes over there, God's talking to him. Remember, there's a burning bush with an angel of the Lord, and the Lord is talking through the angel. I've heard so many stories of people tell me this, and I've seen in shows. Like I was telling the children, you know what? We have to see what the Bible says, because sometimes there's things that, you know, people say God was in the bush. Well, the Bible says it was an angel, and God spoke through the angel. And so God told him, I'm going to use you. And he says, who am I that I should go and talk to Pharaoh, a king, right? And God says, you know what? I'm going to give you some things. God says, I'm going to give you some things to go, and you're going to know. And the first thing he gives him, he says, how, Moses says, how will I know, how will the people know that I'm sent from you? He says, I'm going to give you my name. He says, okay, what's the name? He says, you tell them that I am that I am. And I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if they don't heed to that, he's going to give them three things, he says, okay? He says, the staff you have in your hand, why do you have a staff? Or a cane or whatever? Because he was tending to flock. And you use it to move the sheep around, to guide them or whatever. And he said, see that rod in your hand? He said, cast it down. And he cast it down, and it turned into a serpent. The Bible says he was afraid. He'd like back off. And I looked at that and I said, you know what? God's going to test his faith right there, because God told him, hey, pick that snake up by the tail. Who picks up a snake by the tail? How you pick up a snake by the tail, his head's exposed, he can reach back and get you, right? So God told him, pick up that snake by the tail. And Moses picked it up, and as soon as it picked up, it turned into a rod. And he said, that rod, he said, you're going to use that. And what if they don't believe me? He says, well, first I gave you my name. Now I'm going to give you some signs. He gave him the sign, which is the rod, okay? Then he says, what I'm going to do now is, he says, put your hand in your bosom. So he puts his hand in his bosom and he pulls it out. The Bible says his hand was like a leopard, as white as snow. And he said, put your hand back in there. And the Bible says he plucked it out. And when he plucked it out, it was of another flesh. It was back to his flesh. So God's equipping him with already three things. He gives him his name. He says, I'm going to give you three signs. So he gives him the first sign of the rod, turn into a serpent. Then he gives him the hand to put in his bosom. That's something, you know. And then he says, you know what? And if they still don't believe, he says, go into the river and take some water and pour it on dry ground. And it's going to turn to blood. So he's giving them three things to go and to show the people. The people, the Hebrews, the Israelites. Okay? And what happens is... you know what he does? He says, I pray thee who they will send. After God said, I'm going to give you these three things. Well, at first he says, you know what? He tells him also, I'm not an eloquent man. I can't speak well. A lot of people say, well, he was a stuttering. An eloquent man and slow of speech does not mean a person stutters. It just means that he's slow. I remember I was in West Texas and I went to a travel trailer place. It was called Speakeasy RV Park. And I got to this guy's a big guy and I pulled up and I was, hey, what's going on? How you doing? I'm doing good. He talked real slow. I said, you know what? That's why the RV Park. And see, people say, well, he was a stuttering man. The Bible don't say he stuttered in words. The Bible says, he says, I was not an eloquent man. I don't speak with good words. Just like me, I'm not a person that does speeches. It's hard for me to get up here and talk. And, you know, I don't. And he talked slow. He was a slow of speech, the Bible says. And God, the Bible says that God said, didn't I make man's mouth? Didn't I make the dumb? Didn't I make, let me see, where does he say it? He says, didn't I make man's mouth and he made the dumb and made these things? He says, I will be with you. I will speak for you. And after all these things God gave Moses, Moses still, I was like, wow. And then he still tried it. He wanted to give it away because he said, well, I'll pray thee who you're going to send. I'll pray who you're going to send. And the Bible says that the Lord's anger was kindled up against them. The Lord was mad. And so he said, you know what? I'm gonna send your brother. I'm going to send your brother with you. And he will speak for you. And he is going to talk. I'm going to tell you what to say. And you're going to tell Aaron, and Aaron will talk to Pharaoh. Okay. And he tells him to go, and then he gives him his name, and he gives him three signs, and he gives him his brother. His name, he says, I am that I am. And he says, when you go, go and tell the elders. Go to the elders of the Israelites, the Hebrews. And remember, this time there was so much, they were growing in numbers, and Pharaoh was trying to bring their numbers down. He's trying to kill the children, the young boys, and they keep growing more and more, and they've tried all these things. And Moses had fled, and now God's going to use him to come back and to deliver his people. And when he was getting ready to go, the Bible says that the Pharaoh had died and all the people that seek to kill him. So now it was safe for him to come back. And I was thinking about this, and I said, wow, that's something, how God uses people. You know, when God uses people, and he told him, you know, he said, see, everyone that has come to believe on Jesus Christ, each one of us has had our own encounter with God, and we all have our own separate testimonies. And, you know, some of us, like Moses, he was just doing his own business. He was a murderer, and he left, and he didn't even know of God. And God said, I'm going to use you. And God called him and appeared to him. An angel came in a fire in a bushel, and the bushel wasn't burning. And then he's speaking to God. And God said, you know what, I'm gonna equip you with these things. He says, who am I? And I thought about this. You know what? Each one of us has had our encounter with God. I mean, I got some stories I could tell you from where I was to get here now. And you may say, what's your testimony being saved? Well, my testimony being saved is easy. I could tell you that. My testimony is when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that his blood was my payment, my atonement for sins. He was my sacrifice. But that's a testimony, but there's testimonies of how we lived our life. And not all of us have went through things. Some of us grew up in a church. Some of us never really had an encounter with God. You know, every one of us have had excuses. We make excuses. I remember when I had an encounter with God. I had a lot of encounters with God. Some of us haven't. Like I said, some of us have, and people say, well, they make excuses. Who am I? Who am I to go and talk to somebody? I don't know what to say. Moses said, I don't know what to say. I can't speak well. And you know, so I went and I said, you know what, I got a lot of testimonies I could give. And God uses each and every one of us. And you know, he equips us. It says, I wrote down, I will not, see, we say, what if they won't believe me or hearken unto the void, into my voice? For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. That's what Moses told the Lord. And each one of us could be a witness for Christ. If you're saved, And you know, I didn't want to, when on my journey, I had some things happen to me. It was like, I mean, I had a lot of bad luck. Man, if you knew something, you would say, man, you were cursed. Things that couldn't go wrong would go wrong. Things that couldn't break would break just for no reason. I had all kinds of things happen. I almost died twice, and the Lord spared my life. And I was thinking one day, wow, you know, the Lord saved my physical life to save my spiritual life. Because I should have died. I was in a bad accident. And after I survived it, I still didn't come to Christ. Each one of us probably can get up here and tell a testimony of not of being saved, of how we were led with Christ. Some of us were, you know, some of us probably were drug addicts, you know, some of us were, there's a lot of things that we were. And y'all that are here on Sunday, you know, a Sunday night crowd is a crowd that is, you know, I believe that most of us are saved here. Most of us have been saved, but most of us still make excuses. I can't be used. I can't speak good. I don't know what to say. I can't talk well. I don't know the Bible well. God gives us His name, His Son, Jesus Christ. God gives us His testimony. And He also gives us our own testimony. Our testimony of, you know, of things we went through to get to where we're at. And you know, I've ran across a lot of, I can say, I don't know if they're, I don't believe that they were saved, because I remember one time we went to a mall. We went to the mall in Corpus. And I think it was Channel 6, or what is it, 3 they have there in the mall? I didn't see it last time. And they were up there preaching and everything, or they were giving testimonies. And this lady came and she gave me some stuff, or she gave me some stuff to read, and she was so proud to give her testimony. I'm going to give my testimony, you got to hear it. And I said, let me ask you a question. She says, yeah, sure. I said, are you saved? I said, what? Let me give you my testimony. I said, well, hold on. Are you saved? Do you understand how you're saved? What saves you? If you were to die right now, do you know 100% you go to heaven? Do you know why you're saved? How are you saved? Well, let me just give you my testimony. And you know, see, sometimes people that are so bold may not even be saved. And us that are saved hide behind, I can't speak well. I can't. And then so I talked with her, right? I talked with her, and she said, did I pass your test? I said, what? There's no test. I'm trying to find out what you're believing, how you're saved. You're going to give your testimony, right? A lot of people, when they give their testimony, they make it all about themselves. I've talked to people. I remember this guy, he had cancer, and he was going to die. So I went over there, and I talked to him. And he said he was saved. And I said, well, tell me how you were saved. He told me that he was saved from a car accident. That God saved him from a car accident. And that's how he was saved. And I said, what? No. That's not how you were saved. The Bible's clear how you're saved. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ, by His payment for sins. And I took him through the Bible, and he was like, blown away. He said, I've never heard nobody tell me that. I've never heard that. Wow. He was like, I talk to people, and those people are bold. Some people are bold. They'll be quick to give out, to get up and give a testimony, but they don't have the right testimony. And us, we're in a Bible-believing church, and just as God called Moses and told him, you know what? I'm going to use you, and you're going to set my people free and deliver them from bondage. And some of us have been set free and delivered from bondage, and we say, we don't know what to say. Well, God says, not only will I give you my testimony, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ, not only will I give you that, but He gives us something else. He gives us the Holy Spirit within us, because this is what I saw, and I saw how it related to Moses. He said, I'm going to speak for you, and I will teach you these things and show you what to say. And then I'm going to give you your brother, and your brother's going to talk for you, and he's going to go and help you because you can't speak well. He's going to speak for you. And Moses was like the mediator between God and his brother, because God talked to Moses, and Moses talked to his brother, and his brother talked for him, and his brother, and you know, I was going through the kids, and I said, you know how when they go and they sit before Pharaoh, I've seen movies and stories where Moses throws down the rod, and it wasn't even Moses. The Bible clearly says that Aaron threw down the rod, and Aaron put his hand, and did all these things. But God will use each and every one of us if we want to be used. See, for me to get up here, I never in my life thought I'd be up here preaching or trying to teach people. And I ran a lot of times from God. God saved me. I had a lot of things happen to me. And the draw and call of the Lord is something I couldn't shake. My grandfather was a pastor, and my mom told me he named you Joshua because he said, I want to name him, and I'm going to name him Joshua because that's in the Bible. And if he were here today, he would probably be real proud because I never would have come to church, and I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. But you know what? God wants to use every one of us. And if everyone and anyone that is saved, you can tell me I can't talk well, but you know what? He gave you his testimony. If you don't have a testimony, use his testimony of Jesus Christ, the gospel. He says, I'm gonna speak for you. What does he give us? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says that you need no man to teach you, but the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. If you pray for it, if you ask for it, he will teach you, he will guide you into all truth. Okay, so he gives us his son's name. He gives us his testimony. He says he's going to speak for us. And just like he told Moses, I'm going to throw that rod down, wonders. He does wonders, right? Well, we too can have, we can use the wonders that God did in our life. How? Well, you people could say, you know what? I was a drunk. I used to drink. I was a smoker. I was a liar. I was a thief. I was a cheater. I was this. I was that. You know what? And God delivered me out of it. You can use that for your testimony. Because now when God saves your spiritual life, he also changes your physical life. And those are the signs and the wonders that God has done in your life. And you can use those too. To help lead somebody. See, if you were saved from drinking, and someone that is not, never was a drinker or a drunkard, can't relate to somebody that's trying to be delivered out of drinking. So God can use you because you can relate to the struggles, to being in jail, being out of jail, to being drunk, to help lead someone and give them your testimony of how God changed you. And then when you give them your testimony, then you give them Jesus Christ's testimony so they can be saved. See? And the reason we get up here and preach, Craig preached in the morning, Alan preached. We get up here and preach sometimes, and we know sometimes, you know what, we're preaching to save people. But sometimes the verse I read in 2 Timothy, it says that all scriptures use to exhort, for correction, for learning, for reproof. We get up here and we try to encourage y'all. We try to give you a picture of how God used somebody, and we try to help build each other up and say, you know what, now it's your turn. This church should be filled. Every seat in the balcony could be filled to the gills, filled up with people. Even Jesus said, I pray that he would send laborers into the harvest. The harvest is the world. He wants to call you. And you know what? Some people have been called here, and you put it away. And then you have a bad day and he's calling you again and put it away. And what I'm here to tell you is God wants to use each and every one of y'all. He wants to raise up each believer to help bring somebody to Christ. To be a witness. And not only, he will never leave either one of you nor forsake you. When it comes time for you to talk to somebody, he will help you and speak through you and give you the words to speak. But you can't have those things if you're not trusting Christ for them. If you never step out of your comfort zone and say, you know what, my friend, man, she's my friend, I want her to be saved, but I can't talk. You did your friend a disservice. How do you call them your friend? If you haven't talk to them. Invite them to church. Even if you don't have words to speak, invite them to church. We got all kinds of chick tracts, of literature. Pass them out. The kids are starting to pass them out. I love it. The kids, they come, who passed out a tract? I have, but they're kind of slacking, so I need to get on them again. They haven't been passing out their things, but you know what? The Bible says if you train up a child when they're young, they will grow to do these things willingly. And that's, we're supposed to be a good example. See, this story is, I just went through five chapters, okay? And we're going through it, and this story, a lot more things. And I asked the kids this, why is this story in the Bible? He says why it's in the Bible. Why is this story in the Bible? He could have put another story in the Bible. And I don't know. And I said, well, let's look. And we're looking. And then I said, look, also let's examine this. God says when he tells Moses, go talk to Pharaoh, I'm going to harden his heart. And he ain't going to let him go. And I told the kids this morning, hey, can you imagine that? God tells you to go tell this guy to release his children, but he's going to harden his heart so he won't release them. How, right? I'm not going to release them, but you go and you tell him to release them. I'm going to harden his heart. And we've already been through seven chapters, and he's hardened his heart four times, the Bible says. Four times. And God said, I'm going to harden your heart so you won't release them. That's what the devil does. He hardens the heart of people so they won't listen, or he tries to manipulate a believer that they are not good enough to go out and speak the word of God. We all have it in us. We all can speak the word of God. We're all equipped with the word of God in our heart. We all have the testimony of Christ in our heart. We all have a Bible that we can read from. We all have tracts that we can read from. And see, in this story also, I was looking at it and I said, man, that... He also equipped them with a brother. You know, I've had friends that say, hey, can you come talk to this person? Can you come? I don't know what to say. Oh, I'll go. I ain't losing my reward. I'll go real quick. You're going to pass it to me? I'll take it willingly. When I get in it, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm already there. I'm inducted in there. But when I go, I want to have a reward for me. And you don't want your reward? I'll take it. And God is calling each and every one of us. Get out of your comfort zone. Let's try and build up the body of Christ. Let's try to get some souls saved. Because just like Moses, he doubted. He said, I can't. I don't know. Who am I to go to the king? Who am I to go? I can't speak good. What if they don't believe me? How are they going to believe me? He says, I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to give you signs. I'm going to give you your brother. And then he said, well, I pray thee, whoever they'll send. After all these things, just like, you know, and we say, well, I'm going to pray that God will send somebody else. God gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you the promise of the inheritance. He gave you his sacrifice. And you're going to pray that God will send somebody else instead of you going. So what I'm trying to say is, let's, as a body, let's step out. Let's be bold. That's why we come to church. That's why we get up here and preach. To save souls. To see people come to Christ. To encourage. To exhort. To lift one of us. To lift us up in spirit and truth. To equip others with this word. One day, we may not have this word. One day, we will be persecuted. There's places in the world that Christians are being persecuted. And there's people that are saved that are ashamed. He says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you in your day. You know, I've seen, we go out and hold signs. I see people that from other churches and they see and they just turn. It's like, you can talk to me about God in church, but don't talk to me out there in the world. You know, it's okay to talk here, but don't talk to me out there. And I just want to encourage every one of you. See, because the story goes that Moses, he gets bold and the people are delivered out of Egypt. And God does it. He says, I'm going to deliver my people with a mighty stretched out hand. And I'm going to deliver them out. And Moses is just going to be used, and Aaron. God's the one that does the work. When you go and witness to somebody, God does the work. God gives the conviction in their heart. God can use every one of you that are willing to be used. God can speak for every one of you that is willing to be a mouthpiece for the Lord. And I want to exhort y'all and tell y'all, you know what, invite somebody Sunday or Wednesday. Just try it. Invite somebody. Invite a friend, because if they're your friend, you'll bring them. If they're in a religion, bring them. See, when you try to lead somebody out of religion, I've learned, don't go against their religion. Just give them what the Bible says. I tell them, look, I say, wow, let me show you what I learned. And I don't try to go against their religion, because once you start going against religion, they'll put up a wall and they won't hear you. But if you just show them what the Bible says, you're not poking at them, you're opening the door so they can see and they'll accept it. So God equips us, every one of us. God will be with us. God will speak through us if you let him. God will send somebody with you. They used to have door knocking. We used to go out and go door knocking. I went maybe one or twice when I first came to this church. And I'm like, I don't know, I can't do that. It's kind of awkward. And they said, well, we'll send you with somebody. All right, let's go. And, you know, I went with them. And it was a real big disappointment. Because it's like sad. When you get there, there's people that are actually doing nothing. There was a guy, he was sitting in his yard. Just watching. Can we talk? I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm cutting the grass. Really, you're cutting the grass? He was just sitting there. I gotta do some cleanup. They'll make all kinds of excuses. And the guy says, oh, I'm fixing to leave. And we take off, and he didn't even leave. That right there should show you how this world is turned against God. That right there should help you to say, you know what? It's not going to be easy, because what did God tell Moses? I'm going to harden his heart. I'm going to harden his heart. It's not going to be easy. But the reason he hardens his heart, the reason this story is in the Bible, is because he says, I want Egypt, I want all the nations to know that I am God. And with a mighty hand, I'll stretch out my arm and I will deliver them with all these signs, with these judgments, with these plagues. The reason this Bible, he says, it's going to be used for a memorial. And they use it in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, this story is talked about. And this story is in the Bible to show that he is God of gods, that he's the King of kings, and there is no other God above or beneath him, that he is the only God, and that he is a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of wrath. And the story in the Bible, the reason he hardened his heart and the reason he did this is because God said, I want everyone to know that I'm God and I'm going to show these plagues. And we got to a point where he had sorcerers, and when he put lice, he made all the ground lice, all the land lice. The magician said, that's the finger of God. And they knew this is a God that you can't go against. And I just wanted to, you know, tell y'all. So be bold. Don't think that God can't use you. Don't think that just because you're a little child, I tell the children, you know what? Y'all have an advantage over us, older ones. Because when you go and give somebody a track, they'll take it. If I go and give, I don't need that, get out of here. But a child, we were out there, let me just give you a little testimony. We were out there, and the kids went out, and they went into Sutherland's, and they said they gave a man a Bible. We give out some Bibles. They gave him a Bible, and they passed out tracts, and they came back. And the man came and talked to my wife, and he wanted to give us some money. No, we're not taking money. This is free. He said, no. They before he came, they said they saw him. He was just like there, just reading it. Like in the middle of Sutherland's, he was just reading like it was like he was blown away. And he was so grateful. He was so grateful that those children, he wanted to give money. And we said, no. My wife said he was persistent. And he said, you know what? Then go and buy him ice creams. Okay, we'll take him and get him ice cream. There's people out there that don't know Christ. There's people out there that never heard of Christ or that have been led into some other religion. And maybe you can be Moses. Maybe God can use you. But it's not us that do the work. It's the Lord that works through us. So don't ever think that you're not able, that you can't be bold, that you can't be knowledgeable. Because he says, I'm going to tell you what to say and I will teach you all things. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you, Father, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the Bible, the stories in the Bible to lead us, to help guide us, and to show us that you will always be with us. You will speak for us. You will speak through us. And in this story, it shows that you, even when you harden hearts, you want to use us for your glory. And I pray, Lord, that tonight, that this world is a busy world. And when we go out, if they remember nothing from this, that they will remember that God can use them. And I pray that you would raise up people to witness for you, to speak for you, and to go out and help deliver them from bondage of sin. Thank you for your words. Thank you for this opportunity, Father. I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.